Hey, hello, and welcome to Ben the A Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. And friends, welcome back here as we discuss more House of the Dragon news. We've got photos, we've got trailers, we've got a lot of different things here, Matt.
Well, yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting this today. You and I were getting sitting down, we were about to record one of our other podcasts, and then the next thing you know, boom, we got a House of the Dragon little teaser, sort of behind the scenes trailer.
Right.
Still getting set up here, to be entirely honest. And so we're just going to fire it off and see what we got here and talk about it. It's pretty cool. Just kind of like some behind the scenes stuff, but it's building the hype. Okay.
Right.
I mean, is it House of the Dragon or is it Hype of the Dragon? I don't know, but I'm freaking excited either way.
Yeah, I'm totally down for it. So this is it's called A New Reign, just House. So this is actually the Game of Thrones YouTube page where I pulled this from. So you want to give it a click here and we'll just kind of watch it.
Let's go.
Let's make it. Tell me if there's audio here. Make sure we're good.
There's audio. We're good.
Okay.
I feel incredibly loyal and responsible to the original show. I have a great kind of desire to even be in the same room as that show because it was a game changer.
George and his writing was a huge influence on me. It's an incredible feeling to achieve my dream job. You get that great call, which is the thing that every writer is hoping for, telling you, we're going to go make this thing. And you're happy for a few seconds. And then you realize the responsibility that's on your shoulders.
Oh, boy.
Let's go.
Let's go, dude.
I'm excited. That's always a little apprehensive when you turn your baby over to foster parents. But I'm involved in this. It's great to have Ryan, who's a great writer and someone who really knew my world, is going to do his best to remain faithful to it. I knew Miguel Sapochnik was an amazing director. He'd won an Emmy. He'd done some of our best episodes. There's always a little suspense to how good is it going to be. But I think I'm in good hands with Ryan and Miguel.
The idea of going back to Westeros was almost too much of a challenge.
Wow.
You have to start by respecting it. You can't start by doing different
this
for different
sake. So
he saw some of the things that I saw, and it wasn't just a prequel for prequel's sake. There was actually a reason to tell the story.
It really was seeing it through a different perspective that interested me.
Men would sooner put the realm to the torch and see a woman ascend the Iron Throne.
George's work really is a truly immersive world. There's unexplored deep recesses and thousands of years of history.
Realizing what worked in Thrones, what didn't. What do we want to better? How do we want to evolve?
The biggest sets I've ever been on, the biggest locations I've ever been on, the biggest crews I've ever seen, it's staggering. We do really see the creative world very similarly.
We're going to start just a more grounded, more intimate way.
We're going to go off and go on this great adventure together.
What a great new chapter in the Game of Thrones saga.
Battles are
going to
be huge.
Oh my gosh, dude. Wow.
I know. It looks so sick. And remember, so, you know, Miguel and Ryan, so the people that are working on this were some of the same people that worked on the big, big episodes in Game of Thrones, like the big battle episodes.
Right.
Those are the one, like they did the Long Night and they did, or the, yeah, the Battle of Winterfell, right?
Right.
And Hardhome and some of these things. So it's like, these are like the big, and the Battle of the Bastards. These are the big episodes.
Right.
Well, big battle episodes. And now these guys are running the whole thing.
I mean, look at this. So just as you're watching this, so these guys are talking, but they're showing you a lot of stuff behind the scenes here. Like we're just going up a staircase, like in, I'm guessing, the Red Keeper somewhere, or maybe it's in, it's probably actually a Dragonstone. And it's just, dude, it looks so good. It's got all of the dark, like the black and the red, and the tones are all lining up for me. It just looks epic. I mean, like, you saw the scale here. I'll go back to the end. Like, some of these the tents they have up for the production, and like you said, the battles. I mean, it just looks massive, dude. They said it's some of the biggest sets. Look at all the number of people in this room who are doing this dance, and the attention to detail. I mean, I don't know. I'm blown away.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we've talked about it. We have a comment here, Mike here. So yeah, we're doing this live on YouTube for those of you guys listening on the podcast. This will be better than Thrones. It's one of the things we've talked about.
Yeah,
is it possible? You know, as I mean. It was like in Star Wars, we had said, you know, the originals came out and they were amazing. They're like the best ever, right? Obviously. Sure. The prequels came out and they got some slack, but then they sort of, I think they have evolved and people have changed their mind. And then we get the Star Wars sequels movies and we were like, I don't know. You know, we had a sour taste in our mouth, mm-hmm. just like we had sort of a sour taste in our mouth at the end of Game of Thrones.
Right.
But what changed everyone's opinion on Star Wars? Was The Mandalorian. New show came out and it was awesome and everybody loved it, and now it's like Star Wars is, we're hyped again.
Yeah we're back. You brought us back because
could be the same thing here
for sure. And again, all of Game, like, it was all stunning, all of the action sequences. It was really story and you know, other issues with season 8, but like, you're looking at this and you're thinking, I mean, it's just the sets, they're massive. It's also, there's an element too here I'm noticing, and I guess it's always been there, but it's that it's real. They use real sets. They really build all of this out, because now I'm seeing the cameras and I'm seeing everybody sitting in here for, let me see. Wait, what is this? Looks like some sort of ceremony. Oh, it's again where they're swearing to Rhaenyra, right? And you look at it, it's packed. The hall is packed here. There are swords everywhere. There's so much attention given. Look at the chandelier or whatever, like the light piece and stuff, and the drapings. I mean, it's all real. It's not like I don't really feel like there's a lot of CGI or a lot of crazy stuff going on there. And they put so much effort into this that makes it feel real. Whereas like Lord of the Rings, it lived in, exactly. And like, I feel like some of those other things that we're seeing that are coming out now don't feel as real. They don't feel lived in. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it looks, the more we see of this, and I do think we will get a new trailer probably next week, mm-hmm. because they're going to Comic-Con, right?
Right.
So, and George is going to be at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get like a real, real trailer. Now, remember we had seen all those set leaks, all those set mm-hmm. photo leaks, and that's exactly where they were standing and filming everything. So,
right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is, they're giving us quite a bit here just on the, in terms of the sets and where they're going. And you see some of the costuming and the makeup being done here behind the scenes. They're on some big sort of mount or rock where they've clearly walked up and down. It's just cool because they've got the right guys who already did a lot of this, a lot of these scenes where there was a lot of fighting and there was a lot of big action sequences, and you're working with a large crew, so these guys have experience in that. And I feel like we're not gonna miss a step at all in terms of the quality of the sets and the cinematography and whatever else they have going on, because everything just looks, this is just behind the scenes role. I mean,
yeah,
like Game of Thrones, HBO, House of the Dragon, they don't mess around. This is just a behind the scenes thing, and it looks cinematic as all get out. I mean, look at this shot that they have. It's just crazy. They're just showing you some stuff. So here we go. Yeah, we're looking at some stuff in Dragonstone. And I mean, I don't know, man. I'm so encouraged, I guess. More so. Right. I already was when we saw that first trailer, you know, that first one back in the fall. But man, and the dragons.
Yeah, because. Right, because Miguel and Ryan's comment here from Mike Williams again saying Miguel and Ryan seem to know Westeros. They seem to understand the task and what the show means to people. They just seem to get it. The author seems to know this. Now, you know, one of the things I've talked about is I said I still love the big battle at Winterfell in season 8. And I remember, you know, I think it was Miguel was the one that, one of the two was the one that did it. I'll pull it up here.
Sure.
You know, they directed the episode. They weren't the ones who said, hey, let's have these three episodes take place before the other three and make the Night King happen first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But had that been the ending, we'd have a totally different opinion. We'd be like, dude, these guys know what they're freaking doing, because this is sick. Right. So, I mean, but you still, that episode just as a, as its own thing is freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And what I think they, I even heard George kind of saying in this that they, how did he put it? That they came to him, or they said that there was a story to tell outside of just doing a prequel, right? We're not going to do a prequel just to do a prequel. There was still a story to tell. And then they immediately cut to that line by Rhaenys Targaryen, where she was just like, right, they'll, like, men won't let a woman sit the throne or reign or rule or whatever. And that's what this is all about. Then them swearing loyalty to her because of his issues and because Viserys wants that. It, which is cool. There's a, there will be a really good story to tell here about how close we came to like a queen ruling Westeros.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah. So, conquest. So let me pull it up here. So Miguel Spachnik, I don't know, dude. It's gonna be hard to pronounce these guys' names. Yeah. But he has direct. So he did a few episodes of Game of Thrones. He did The Gift. He did Hard Home, which was a sick fight. That's where Jon fights the White Walker. Mm-hmm. He did The Battle of the Bastards and The Winds of Winter, just in terms of directing them, in which he won an Emmy.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, he won an Emmy. I mean, and then he was nominated for two more. He was nominated for another Emmy for The Long Night, and he also directed The Bells. I mean, but like, regardless, okay, like we have issues. We have issues with the storyline of The Bells.
Yeah,
he didn't write that.
No,
he directed it though. I mean, there was even the final episode, like plot wise, we weren't fans of, but directing wise. Dude, the shot of Daenerys and like the dragon going up behind her, I mean, that's like directing wise, it was freaking awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's the plot was the problem, mm-hmm. not at mm-hmm. all like the directing or the acting or the score. And it's the same, Ramin Djawadi's back for the score. Yeah. The more I see of this, the more I'm like, okay, so you're telling me it's going to be Game of Thrones, you know, without Dan and Dave, maybe.
Right. Well,
what, you know,
exactly. And so what they showed, and I think this promo piece is really important, because they basically just said, hey, we're taking what we believed was the best. Again, not to take anything super away from those guys. Did they finish it? Whatever. They set up a great series and it was awesome. And that there's good things. So they evaluated in this very trailer here, this promotional piece. They said, we looked at Game of Thrones and we said, what did it do well? What is something that we can kind of expand upon? Even George was talking about who he wanted from that project to keep working. You know, it's like, what did he say? It's like giving your baby away, right, to these parents who are going to adopt it for a while and take care of it. But he said, I'm involved. So he's involved and he's helping with this. It just feels really good. It has a different feel to it, I guess. And they're talking about story as well. So, like, nothing is missing in terms of the costuming. I'm looking at this behind-the-scenes shot here with all of these trucks and tents and props, and they're running horses and carriages, you know, probably into a set and everything. It just – Yeah.
So
– so good.
No, it's going to be freaking sick. Okay, so the other guy, Ryan Condal, who we've brought this up a few times, he hasn't really done much. Two of his projects, he did the 2014 Hercules movie and then 2018 Rampage.
Okay.
He wrote both of those. Both of those star The Rock. So he's worked with The Rock a lot. And like, if you know anything about The Rock, is like he demands like excellence on his movies and stuff like that. Like the Black Adam movie, he's like he's a producer on and everything. And he's like, he's been very, very like meticulous and making it that I feel like that movie is going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah. Go big or go home and attention. Yeah. The people who want to put in the extra effort and say, no, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to do all the hard things. It might not be easy, but we're going to do it like that. That's the feel we're getting here. And so if he's involved with other projects like that too, it makes sense. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Rock's Hercules movie, and he wrote it. He obviously wasn't involved with the director or anything. Like, the Hercules movie was okay. Rampage was kind of it was kind of just an okay movie. It wasn't like fantastic or anything. But he hasn't done anything since, which leads me to believe that he's been working on House of the Dragon since
for a while, right?
Quite some time.
Yeah. Man, I mean, look at this right here. So I've got pulled up some of the Valyrians, just the costuming here from the kids, and you have the young characters over here on the side on the right. If you're listening on the podcast and you get a chance, you got to go check this out because, again, the jewelry and just everything is so, so stunning, and it just feels so good. And is she holding the dagger? There's a dagger, I guess, that's in her.
Yeah, hand. I don't know if she's holding the dagger there. It's but little... we have seen the dagger in other things.
Yeah, someone mentioned that earlier. I was trying to go back and kind of find that. I feel like someone was holding it. I'll go back and look here. But I mean, highly encouraging. And here's that big battle sequence at the end we were kind of talking about. So you get everybody kind of in their positions. Looks like you've got the Valerians. I'm fighting, and this is probably going to be some of.
Well, it could be. Remember in the very first trailer, we saw a shot of Daemon at what looked like a tournament.
Yeah. Yes.
So we could be getting like a big turn. We're going to get some tourney stuff too.
Right. Yeah. 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 We're going to get there was the tournament, and then So I feel like once we get a chance to really break this down more, that's actually showed us like we're kind of seeing a few things that are going to happen, right? Like we were kind of wondering in terms of the outline with Fire and Blood, like how far back are they going to go? What pieces of Daemon's story are they going to tell? Because again, he's much older when Rhaenyra is born. Like he's done a lot of different things. This prince of Dragonstone, and he's the heir until, you know, his brother starts to have children and then everything. But then we realized, and we'll switch gears here in a second, but we've got all these images that kind of confirmed, hey, we're going.
Yeah. Let's dive through those too. Cause these came out on Friday and we were going to talk about them like today, but then this dropped. And so it's like, okay, well, we'll just talk about all of it.
Right. Yeah. So this is pretty cool. Let me remove that real quick and let's pull these up because I just kind of can't believe, like, even when you look at the shots,
this trailer, these images that we're seeing actually tell us some big, there's some big things to take away from this.
Right. So let me scroll down here. Let me know if you can see that there. I'm just going to pull up. Is that better? A little bigger mm-hmm. version there. Yep. Okay, cool. So this, I mean, we've got the old king, King Jaehaerys. Am I right. wrong or right? Is that?
No, like, I definitely think that's the case. We did not know that was going to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and is that then his... So if you look to the left, that's Viserys and his wife. So Emma Arryn, I'm guessing, with pregnant, like with
Rhaenyra? I would imagine. I would think so.
Right. So we've got like Rhaenyra in the womb there. And remember at this time, so I'm trying to remember just in terms of age and stuff, you know, because Alison Hightower, I don't know how they're going to, you know, and again, they're welcome to change different things, birth dates and stuff like that or whatever. But that's cool. And we could be wrong. I don't know who that is exactly standing next to Viserys. I'm just kind of imagining. And then you've got the Valerians to the right, which is pretty neat. But yeah, just awesome. Because we know that's then going to indicate kind of a Council of 101 AC, right? So AC, after the conquest, we're going to have this discussion about who is next. And is it going to be Viserys over here on the left? Rhaenys? I mean, is it going to be anyone else? The Valyrian Laenor, right, was somebody who was put up back during that council. So
we already know we are getting flashbacks with, I guess it makes sense because we have a younger Alyssa and a younger Rhaenyra. Now, you know, what's interesting though is that I just assumed we wouldn't even get King Jaehaerys. It would just be like talked about or something.
Yeah.
But one of the sort of rumors in, like, you know, in the A Song of Ice and Fire universe is that Alyssa Hightower might have been the one to finally kill King Jaehaerys. She was in there with him when he died.
Yeah. She was there. Yeah, right. And he was mixing her up with some of his daughters or granddaughters or something. He was old. And so in Otto Hightower, the Hightowers are scheming for sure, because again, Alicent is floated around for Viserys simply so that they can kind of get, you know, closer to the throne, and the Hightowers want to have royal blood. They want to be mixed in with that family, and they become very close, actually. I mean, really, for a time, they are. So it's crazy. So anyways, we were looking at the old king, King Jaehaerys, sitting there on the throne. Now we're looking at our younger actresses for Alicent. That's Alicent, right, on the left. And then Rhaenyra with like a weeping werewood tree behind them.
So, yeah,
as
if. Which is crazy. You just sort of look at it as is, and you're like, okay, here they are walking and talking, whatever. But there's a weirwood behind them.
Right. And there's looks like they maybe had a picnic nearby it or something. And so anytime if you've read the series, you know that weirwoods being around, the witnesses, the leaves, and the old gods and all of that is really important. And some of that mystical element is pretty neat to see, you know, back in the day here. So I don't know. It just makes me think of a Song of Ice and Fire series and all the things that were going on and all the things that will come with Blood Raven and then later Bran and so on. So great, because we're this is well before that, you know, but these well elements are still here. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Let's see, next up. So
yeah, and they talk about in the article they talked a little bit about how they, which I think I, you know, again, in the books it's definitely a cooler looking throne, right? Because it's like one enormous throne, you almost like as this like spiraling staircase you have to climb,
right?
But I think the way they did it here to still sort of, obviously, you, since you can't make an entirely different throne since it was the way it is in Game of Thrones,
yeah.
But I think the way they did it here with all the swords just sort of hanging out there, I think it looks cool. I think yeah, this is a great way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. This is awesome. And I think, you know, I don't know, it probably has something to do with the levels or whatever, because I love that image in the book where it's just like you have to look way up at the king or queen, right? You know, but this is still cool because remember in Fire and Blood, they often talk about on your way up to the throne, or even while sitting in it, you could prick yourself or you could be cut or stabbed and get an infection and die or whatever. So here is Rhaenyra looking awesome, by the way. Absolutely. Right. All the details in that.
I feel like we've seen way more young Rhaenyra.
A lot more
than we've seen of Emma D'Arcy, right?
Yeah, and it's impressive. I mean, again, you've got to tell this whole story. So they did a really, I think that will help the audience to kind of go back. Because,
you know, Jimmy, every holiday season, I find myself with a dilemma. At my wife's extended family Christmas, we do a white elephant gift, and I never know what to get.
Well, Matt, spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. All in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Yeah, they scour the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their website. Things like chocolate from around the world, handcrafted cribbage boards, wine glasses, bourbon sets, just about anything you want to find that would be a unique or uncommon gift they have in their selection.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize.
And from holiday host to hostess gift to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections you can find just anywhere.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
You've said this often, which is like the castings for these two are so impressive.
It's so good.
They look so much like their counterparts.
It's like so spot on. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is just, they lucked out. It's really good. This is just really good by the casting director. And I don't know, they, in the trailer, just her dancing and then Allison, I feel like they're good. I feel like they're, not only are they stunning, but they are good in terms of their acting. And then it's going to be doing this whole flashback thing, taking us back to early Rhaen and Viserys rule in time. And then also looks like we're going back into, you know, stuff with the old king and Jaehaerys. So yeah, fascinating. This is again, beautiful and just sort of shows a lot of the attention to detail here. Let's go to the next one. There's like nine of these. So let's click that's on the okay. next one here.
Oh, that's an advertisement.
Let's just get past that bad boy. There we go. So the plotting here, and if you want, so I kind of can't see the caption anymore, but if you have this up on the side, I'll go back to it. So yeah, Father knows best. Yeah. Okay. So
yeah. Yeah. We're going to get a lot of, we're going to get definitely a lot of Ohio Tech. And somebody else commented here too, saying Uncle Dave Zilla in the YouTube chat here saying, I'm pretty hopeful every little bit they release is easing my concerns. And that's where I have gone into this with zero concerns. There's obviously a lot of fans that do have hesitations, right? With it. And it's good to see, I think it's nice to see that people are saying, yeah, you know, the more we're seeing of this, it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you were a fan of, like, some people really get into the lighting and the cinematography and all that kind of stuff. I know when it's amazing. Like when I look at it and I'm just like, every picture and image and like little photo, like the reel, the promotional stuff, it just stands out above all of the things that I've seen recently in the past year or two, right? It just looks that good. Everything just seems to work. So anyways, this is, you know, Otto talking to Alicent, and we get that this could even be, I'm not sure if that's young. Is that the young actress? It's kind of hard to see because her face, because again, they look so similar, and that's just a profile. But either way, we know she was directed. She was with her father, who was Hand of the King, and was directed to go in and take care of the old king. So now it's actually making a lot of sense, too, that we would even see the old king. And that's when she was first brought to court. So that will be neat to kind of see, like, even just understanding what it's like to be a young girl who comes from Old Town and really maybe hasn't spent a lot of time in King's Landing, right? Where all the royals and everything's happening. So to get that kind of vibe coming into this big city and then being thrust into the Game of Thrones with a master player like her father, maybe she was always there, not really sure, but a lot of times the Hand of the King would come in, you know, family members would stay back home. Why bring his daughter? Is his whole family moved in there like Eddard Stark? Or that wasn't always the case. So,
well, cool. I will say another thing that's really interesting here about bringing really the fact that they're even going to give us Jaehaerys, because you could have just started with his death and they're at a funeral, because we do see like some funeral stuff in the previews. Yeah. But the fact that they're giving him to us, you're actually going to see him to some extent, means that then you're going to have people say, well, who's this guy? And they're going to open it up and then we're going to read more about it. And then it then opens the idea for future content. Maybe it's about him. Oh yeah, he was that king that was dead at the beginning of because a lot of fans don't read any of the stuff, they just watch the show, so they don't know any of that. So but it builds intrigue and builds speculation. So now that they're doing this, I'm actually even like more excited for it, because then now you're in this great spot. First of all, okay, hold on, that looks freaking sick. Pull that up.
Our boy Damon, I mean, the brother, and you just look at the armor and just the work on this and the rubies and everything, right? God dang, it's just stunning. It's just awesome, man.
Yeah, Matt Smith, we've said it before, but he's about to start cleaning up awards left and right.
Right. Yeah. Just super cool. So this is probably that tourney you were talking about, right? We're going to get a tourney of some kind.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. But yeah, we're going to also probably see him in an actual battle too, if he goes and does anything with the Stepstones or Corlys Velaryon, if they do anything like that. But that'll be really cool. And just for you guys who are listening and even just sort of watching, there's again, they're doing little tidbits here on the side where they've got more information again on his dragon, who he is, relationship to his brother, all that sort of stuff. So this is Entertainment Weekly came out and did this. This is what happened, dropped at the end of last week, I think, right? You said?
Yeah, it was Friday that they came out with this Entertainment Weekly sort of, you know, they do this a lot. We see these a lot, like Vanity Fair does these with Star Wars.
Right.
Where you get these sort of just direct images and everything. Here's another shot where we see, you know, in the very first trailer, we saw some of this tourney, and here we get to see a little bit more of it. Now, who is he fighting there? Who's that?
So they set on the side.
What is that sigil?
They say here, so let's see, we get a glimpse of the handsome Sir Criston Cole, a common born swordsman of Dornish descent. So this is him prior to becoming a White Cloak, I think, right? I mean, maybe I'm wrong, battles Prince Daemon during a tourney event. Maybe not. Maybe he is wearing, you know, maybe he's just, you know, carrying a different shield or something. But will his
House Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to look up that sigil. It is, yeah. It is the sigil. It is,
So
it's on the wiki.
Cool. I'm kind of just wondering if this is, cause he looks like he's not really wearing the garb that you would typically, cause typically when they compete in tournaments, the white cloaks wear, you know, I mean, get their shining, you know, their armor looks right. better than, I mean, he just looks pretty.
So this could be in the flash. This could be a flashback or something.
Yeah, this could all be early stuff. I mean, you know, remember Rhaenyra was sort of fawning over, I mean, like her uncle and different people and Sir Criston Cole and stuff when they're younger. And then he's going to rise, you know, possibly to power and be.
Well, he wins. Yeah, he wins. He wins in 104. He wins the tourney at Maidenpool to celebrate the ascension of King Viserys the First Targaryen, drawing the attention of the royal court by knocking. Yeah. Well, here's spoilers for you. By knocking Dark Sister from the hands of Prince Daemon Targaryen with his Morningstar. Well, he's got a Morningstar right there.
There it is, right there, Prince. You're literally seeing spoilers, sorry. Exactly what's about to happen. But that's cool. That's again, cool to show a moment for him and for us to understand, wow, okay, hold, because you're going to build up Daemon pretty hardcore with the gold cloaks and a lot of different things that he's done. And just the fact that he has Dark Sister is huge. And then this guy comes in, an attorney. That's the cool thing is that it says, again, the description of this photo says tourneys, lots of them. So,
right. We'll definitely see far more than just.
Yeah. Right. So that's pretty cool. Cause I think we like the people. Well, you know, that was like the hands tourney in Game of Thrones. Those things were cool. Cause these people show up and then you have the royals watching, bets are happening. And then it's just a chance to kind of show off skill. I mean, one of our more popular sort of videos and topics and content, I guess, for Matt and I is like best swordsmen. So who are some of these best fighters and stuff like that? So if they start to show us more of that, it just I love that kind of stuff. So that's huge. All right, let's see here. Let's click on through. Oh boy. Waking the Dragons. Right. Yeah. So this is an egg. Why he's got like, so Daemon is holding a dragon egg here and it's got a lot of looks pretty fresh, I guess.
Might be some residue of some kind that's on some the side. Residue.
Yeah, that's a fresh one. So that is really cool, really cool. And that's going to be, I think, an interesting element too, right? Is seeing all the dragons and understanding maybe more about dragon lore and stuff.
Yeah, because Game of Thrones, that was one of the best parts, was Daenerys and her three dragons. But this show, everyone has them.
Right, and again, I love the idea of. I mean, I just love all the. Which dragon's more powerful, who could beat who in a fight and all that kind of stuff, because you have so many that it's a little bit of a flex depending on which one you have and who got the black dread, who all those things are really kind of cool. So he's got an egg and I mean, it's probably on Dragonstone, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. I think we got, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. The Valyrian.
You know, the shot of Corlys Velaryon and Driftmark looks freaking sick. Everything we've seen of it looks awesome. Uh-huh. A very sort of different take. And I think it's giving it like sort of this unique look.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Man, that is cool. So they're sort of, I mean, again, he's going to be in a position where he's trying to figure out, you know, what to do. Like a lot of, I mean, he's with the queen who never was, or the queen who was passed over. And then he's also got like his children who are passed over and, I mean, what's he supposed to do here? And then he'll try to marry his son to Rhaenyra. So he's going to be really interesting, I think, in terms of really you got like Otto Hightower versus him a little bit for a time. So that'll be.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
OK, the final shot here. So this is interesting. So here we have, you know, current age, I guess, Rhaenyra and Alicent. Mm-hmm. And in the trailers, it's always made it look like, man, they're going at each other. But here it makes them almost look like there's something else going on. And they're. It's kind of hard to tell because the look on her face just in the photo, clearly Alicent is in some kind of shock.
Distress or upset
about something.
Like Rhaenyra seems to be kind of trying to calm her down. I think she still has the dagger in her other hand there, and she was just coming after him. And maybe. Somebody grabbed the dagger and stopped her, and then Rhaenyra just grabs her and says, calm down. I mean, that's what it's is that's the vibe it's putting off. I don't really know that's the, because that, it seems like we saw her this very shot and this very costume
in the trailer with her with the dagger.
Yeah.
Where she's walking. Yeah. Not the trailer we saw today for those guys listening to the podcast, but like the very first trailer we got.
Right. Right. Man. Oh man. Okay. So this says, if you know, you know, there are many layers to the dance of the dragons. We won't go into all of that. We're going to preserve some of the surprise for you. Good God. Interesting. Confirms the producers are taking a more linear story or a more linear approach to the story. Okay. Interesting. So it's fair to presume we won't get into some of the more notable events until a bit later in the season. An eye for an eye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. But for those in the know, here's an image of what happened or what appears to be the moment that has become known as an eye for an eye. Holy smokes. Woo. So that they are giving away a little bit in this entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, weekly thing. So dang.
It's going to be sweet. I'm digging all the hype for it. And then, you know, today was just sort of a behind the scenes little bit of a trailer where they're just talking about how excited they are for it and everything. But then really you know, next week is Comic-Con, and we know that they're going to be there. So I imagine we'll get another trailer.
Right, right. Man, this is wild. So
because it's today. Is today a month, right? Or tomorrow? August 19th is when it comes out. So we're just about 1 month away.
But yeah, for sure. I think you said, too. Yeah, so we're recording this on early this week, and so this will be coming out next Sunday is the trailer probably, right? Is that the panel that they have? You said Sunday morning for Comic-Con.
I think so. Yeah, we did the math and we looked at that. Yeah. So yeah, August 21st is the thing. So we're just a little over a month away, but I believe Sunday the 24th is Comic-Con. And they have a panel.
Wow. Friends, this is awesome. But as Matt's looking stuff up here, I want to also point out something. If you really get a chance to go read this stuff, they are telling you quite a bit, which is pretty cool. And there's going to be tons of room for surprise and different crazy elements or whatever. But they're telling you that in her youth, Rhaenyra, daughter of King Viserys and Queen Emma, served as her father's cupbearer, etc. We know that rode Syrax, and her best friend was Alicent, who grew up in the Red Keep as the daughter of the Hand of the King. So again, they're really showing them here as BFFs, best friends. So that's cool, because that's a little bit more played up than I guess I remember it being in Fire and Blood. I don't remember them being this close. Like in Fire and Blood, it kind of it basically says that, I mean, they have a conversation when she really starts to kind of become an option for her father, but this is them way, like, I don't know, man, like a lot younger, and they're kind of really building up more of a chemistry between them, or a friendship, a relationship that I didn't know was necessarily there in the books. Do you? I don't know if I.
No.
I don't.
So well, cool. I mean, I can't imagine though. It doesn't. I do feel like they're sort of, you know, hatred or whatever. It does feel like it comes later.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, it's like she is the realm's delight. She is, again, the person that everyone sort of swears to. We see that ceremony, but the plotting is happening with Allison's father, and then there's this, you know, everything that will go down later with Viserys. I mean, she'll start to have children, and still all of her children will not be named heir, and that's a problem. While Viserys is alive, he's saying, no, it's still Rhaenyra. Like, that's what's up. It's not my sons. It's not the second born. It's not whatever. It's Rhaenyra. And that becomes more of a problem in that wedge that will be driven between them. But I just, you guys in the chat, let me know. I just don't remember. And what's cool about this, I'm not saying this is a bad thing at all. This is the type of stuff that I was saying, we've been saying for a long time, that there's room in the show to expand and do more and show us more of those relationships and more of what it was like prior to, you know, Viserys becoming king or even just, you know, any of this big divide. I mean, you need to show this closeness, right, to then get to a point where Allison is running at her with a dagger, an eye for an eye.
Right. So, okay, so I got it pulled up here because we looked at this the other day. We either talked about it here or we talked about it on some other show that we do. Nonetheless, right. So Saturday in Hall H, which is like the big sort of hall at Comic-Con, Warner Brothers has the stage from 10:15 to 11:15, which is going to be their movies, all their big movies that are coming out. Then, which means they gave top billing of like the Warner Brothers thing. They said, hey, we're going to do all of our movie stuff first. Then they have a big panel from 11:30 in the same hall. So they're probably just getting it all set up because it's all Warner Brothers stuff. From 11:30 to 12:30 is House of the Dragon. So it gets to even go on after. It gets to be its own thing.
Wow. Wow. So it's just going to be a full day of really, or you know, a significant amount of time in terms of like talking about this and building hype for it, which is good.
Man. Yeah. Then after that, it's like some Star Trek panel. Like, who cares? Seriously.
Yeah.
Trek's cool, I guess, but you know, I mean,
no, but seriously, who cares? I'm just kidding. Yeah, seriously, yeah. But let me draw your attention back to something real quick here. I'm just thinking, remember Damon lays that egg in, or wants to have an egg with his unborn child. And so, wow. This article again talks about how Martin describes in Fire and Blood that newborn Targaryens are commonly newborn Targaryens are commonly laid into their cribs next to a dragon egg to help their bonding process, you know, should the creatures hatch. I mean, so here he is looking for that very thing. So we're learning a lot, again, more about the Targaryens and their connection to these dragons. And it's just, that's awesome. That's like cool attention to detail. It just, things that George would, you know, it's probably pushing them to emphasize, and they sat down, scripted out some stuff, and it just feels really, really good. So much detail here, man.
Yeah. All right. The more we see, the more I think it just looks awesome and awesome. And so, man, we're gonna have to come back Saturday.
Oh yeah.
For that Saturday about 11 o'clock, noon for that that trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So this is just kind of. And this was cool to see over on the Game of Thrones YouTube channel. This is where I saw it anyways. And for this whole thing to be called A New Reign, you know what I mean? This idea that there's this new show coming in here that is going to be awesome. So yeah, this is just a little taster, I guess, a little appetizer as we lead into what will be like later this week. What Thursday is when I think a lot of the Comic-Con events will opening ceremony and stuff. And then Friday, Saturday.
And I believe the time zones are based on, your current time zone, it says here. So that means it'll be noon Pacific. So it means it'll be like three, 4 o'clock Saturday, your time is.
Perfect. Perfect.
So guess we'll be back live streaming some Game of Thrones content here on Saturday evening.
Yeah. That is amazing. I was just looking at some of the comments here too before we leave. People are hyped, man. People are I think, you know, As you said, they're coming back to this, looking at it. Just look at the attention to detail here. Look at the, I just can't wait to hear more of the dialogue, because even in that trailer, some of the dialogue that we got was like, wow, every line, every word mattered. It was like just a little trailer, but I feel like they're going to give as much attention to that and the wordplay and as they do the costuming and stuff. So I don't know how we're going to be. This show's, it's just going to be, sick. It's going to be amazing.
I'm more and more hyped, but now I'm ready. I think we're going to get it Saturday. They're going to do a panel, so we're going to learn a lot regardless. And George is going to be there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. It seems like it's all going to be, again, just about, he might drop one of those little tiny wink nods about Winds of Winter or whatever.
I think so. He's been writing a lot.
Yeah. He'll just do something small and subtle. Just
what if he just says like, hey, I'm like 80% done.
What if he just says it's finished? The place, if I were in a hall like that, the roaring that would take place would just be oh my gosh.
Like, you guys want to get really hyped up for House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones you know, Westeros content. Oh yeah, Matt. I finished Winds of Winter, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, what if it was like, so we had this reel here where it was like a new reign and they did this whole thing or whatever, but like at Comic-Con, what if it starts off and it's just one man writing and he's just there's a trailer and he's just, they do a trailer to kind of release this idea that there's Winds of Winter and you just see clips of George saying, I've been struggling with it for so many years. And like, right. It's just him talking over this. I would lose my mind.
So it's gonna be sick. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, with that, yeah, I just wanted to pop in here, take a look at this cool little behind the scenes stuff we got, and then some of the stuff we got in the Entertainment Weekly here. So we will be back Saturday discussing this this Comic-Con panel, and perhaps hopefully a new trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be sick. Going to be sick. Hey, again, friends, if you have thoughts on this, you can send us a raven to btkcast@gmail.com. Feel free to like, subscribe, give us that comment. And as always, friends, just remember, fire and blood.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.